we have this mindset of scarcity when it comes to time. We think we're on a shortage of time, like, oh, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. So we do things that we assume is quick. Like you said, fast food, we get that fast, you know, or how can I make money fast? So we're going to do whatever we can make money fast. Or how can I, you know, get married fast? Let me see. I'm going to go through this dating app or whatever. Right. So everybody is looking for the quick route to where they're going because it's this mindset that we're limited in time, which is not true because you don't have to be limited in time if you don't allow yourself to have that type of mindset. But when you have that kind of mindset, you feel like you really don't have the time to put into yourself, to rest, to nurture yourself, to plan out a trip for yourself, a vacation, or to plan out time for you to train in the gym or prep your meals or whatever. You feel like, I don't have time. Hey there, it's me, Rainey Howard, and welcome to this special episode of The Rainey Howard Show. You know, a lot of people don't even know how to make themselves a priority. We get so caught up in prioritizing other people and serving and giving and taking care of everyone and being great on the job and meeting deadlines that we often can get in the habit of forgetting ourselves and forgetting to prioritize ourselves. What do you think about that? Was it always a challenge to prioritize yourself?
Yeah, I think that it's easy to get caught up in responsibilities and, you know, getting stuff done and tasks and checklists and all of that, and get so wrapped up and consumed with like completing things that you forget to do things that's necessary for your own personal benefit. You know, whether it's your health, whether it's your mind, whether it's your body, you know, a lot of times people easily put those things on a back burner to really focus on themselves so that they can focus on getting things done or tasks done.
Yeah.
Or even just normal distractions, you know, because there are so many out there.
Right. I know years ago, it took a while for me to learn the lesson. It took me getting in a place where I was exhausted, really depleted. But years ago, I put my career, you know, my finances, business, taking care of everybody, I put that ahead of my own care, my own self-care, my own mind, body, and spirit. And so I remember saying, oh man, I need to go to the gym. But in my mind, I would think, I don't have time to go to the gym. Like, I got to get this done. I'll go to the gym once I meet this goal, this financial goal, you know,
right.
Or I'll do that once I get to a certain level successfully, or when I feel like my kids are a little older, then I'll take time out for myself. And I talk to so many women, and I think it's more common for a lot of women to get so caught up in nurturing everyone else, especially when we're mothers and wives and we have other people that are in our life. We can get so caught up in just being in this cycle of giving and serving and doing and working and hustling and all of that.
Yeah, and I think it's the same for men too, you know, especially when you consider yourself as a provider, you can get so caught up in providing and being available and, you know, working and making money, especially when you're trying to make sure everything is taken care of.
You know,
all of those things can be top priority, taking care of everything else, all the bills, all responsibilities without really putting yourself in it. You know, I think one thing I can add to that is like food too, you know, eating healthy. It's easy to go to fast food restaurants and stuff like that. And sometimes people put their own, like what they consume as far as food is concerned on the back burner, and they take what's convenient and quick and easy. Like, I start cooking and eating when I get some real time. But right now I'm going to take what's convenient and what's readily available.
You know, I heard someone say recently, I was listening to someone, a video, and they was talking about how in America, we have this mindset of scarcity when it comes to time. We think we're on a shortage of time, like, oh, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. So we do things that we assume is quick. Like you said, fast food, we get that fast, you know, or how can I make money fast? So we're going to do whatever we can make money fast, or how can I, you know, get married fast? Let me see. I'm going to go through through this dating app or whatever. Right. So everybody is looking for the quick route to where they're going because it's this mindset that we're limited in time, which is not true because you don't have to be limited in time if you don't allow yourself to have that type of mindset. But when you have that kind of mindset, you feel like you really don't have the time to put into yourself, to rest, to nurture yourself, to plan out a trip for yourself, a vacation, or to plan out time for you to train in the gym or prep your meals or whatever. You feel like, I don't have time.
Right.
And so you're doing whatever you can to, you know, shortcut your way through.
Yeah. And we live in a time of instant gratification.
Yes.
You know, where, yeah, I could get something healthy. I could do something that, you know, I would delight in. But if that takes a little longer than what's right here, that seems a lot quicker, mm-hmm. you know, like the fast food, then I'm just finna go the quick route.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to get what I need instantly, as opposed to what I really desire that may take a little longer.
Yeah. What do you think it is that causes people to not prioritize themselves? Like, why do they struggle to put their mind, body, and spirit as a priority?
Yeah, I don't think that people purposely do it. You know, I think when you don't be intentional about taking care of yourself, sometimes you can be so distracted by the things that are going on outside of you that you don't recognize that there are things that I need to be doing for myself, you know, that don't include work and don't include tasks. You know, I think.
But isn't it times when people look in the mirror and they're like, oh, my God, I need to lose weight, but they still put it off?
Yeah.
Or they like, you know, why do they do that?
I would say that I don't think people notice until it's way later in the process. You know, if you've always been a certain size and you always kind of, from a mindset perspective, saw yourself as a big person, you can be gradually getting bigger and still in your mind, you're like, I've always been a big person. So this is kind of who I am without recognizing that you are changing, you know, until you get to a spot where it's like, man, I didn't know I was this big. Nobody said anything. Or, you know, I never noticed.
Or they don't recognize who they are on the picture.
Right. I never noticed that all of this had changed. You know, I think that it takes some intention. You have to really be paying attention to what's going on around you and what you're looking like.
Right.
And what you really desire, and not just allowing days and time and things to just flow and move without you having any real impact.
For
you know?
Me, it was so different. For me, it was because I knew at that point in my life, I knew that I was gaining weight. I didn't like that I was gaining weight. But it wasn't until I saw my emotional and mental health, it just started to change. I noticed how I was feeling. I noticed how sad I was. I noticed how, okay, I know I was an emotional person and I was really sensitive, but I felt like at that time in my life, I was extremely emotional and I would cry and I couldn't stop myself from crying. I would overly cry, or I just was starting to feel low. And I started noticing like something's off with just how I feel, my energy, my emotions. And so I could tell that what I was dealing with, I started researching. I'm like, is this depression? Is this anxiety? So I started to be able to pay attention that mentally and emotionally I was shifting and I wasn't comfortable with that. I didn't know who I was and I felt like I didn't have control. And so really with me, it was like, wow, okay, I've been putting all this time, because I mean, I'm telling you, it was all about serving other people. I was writing books. I had wrote like 4 books within 2 years. I was always putting out videos, YouTube, live every single day. You know, I was just pushing out, doing, taking action. And I realized I wasn't putting into myself. I was like pouring from an empty cup. It was like I had emptied myself to serve other people, but I was exhausted and depleted and I needed to be filled back up. And so once I noticed that emotionally and mentally, it was like, okay, then I became really, really serious about prioritizing myself. Then it became, this is what I have to do above all things. Because it was like either this or I may not even make it. Mm-hmm. It was just like that for me.
What was it that caused you to realize that something needed to change? Aside from recognizing, or was it just recognizing that your energy was off and your feelings were a bit more exaggerated than you had desired for them to be? What was it that really was like the turning point to say, I see now I need to change this about how I'm operating?
It was just me being fed up. And it was like, you know how, and I always think of the visual scenario of being at what they call it, like a dead end street where you can't keep straight, but you can either go left or right.
Uh-huh, like a crossroad.
A crossroad, more like that. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was at a crossroad in my life. And I felt like if I kept doing the same thing and having the same habits, that it was going to lead me down a path that was devastating to me. You know, I didn't see any life, happiness, success, joy. I didn't see any of that if I would have kept going down that route and, you know, following the habit. And I just felt like I only had one other choice, and that was to prioritize myself. And I remember being on the bathroom floor. I wrote about this. I remember being so depressed and having anxiety and panic attacks and insomnia. I couldn't sleep at night. I remember being on the bathroom floor. It was so late at night, and I just felt like something has to change. I remember just crying out to God, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and speak in my heart and told me that I was going to get through this. And I was like, because I was at a point where I almost felt like I wasn't going to make it because I didn't understand what was wrong with me. I was going to doctors and nothing was helping me. And so I didn't know how, but I was like, I just have to trust this process. And that was one of the hardest places in my life, but it really strengthened me and it really allowed me to become a stronger, relentless person. And so I just had to make that decision and say, I'm never going back. I'm never going to put other things ahead of my mind, body, and spirit. Each morning, that's when I began to create a morning routine that involved meditation, prayer, exercise, fitness, mindset work. It was just a cycle, and I became relentless about, like, this is my daily medicine. Mm-hmm. And I called it so many things, and my clients that I've worked with, I call it the daily meds, mind, emotion, and don't forget your spirit. And I also termed it, you know, the love habit, but it's different things that I do on a daily routine that I had to prioritize.
How did you get those steps? Like, I mean, I know that you was just at this crossroad, but
right.
How did you get them?
I realized that after going through the mental issues in my life, the emotional issues, and then the physical, I was like, okay, I'm overweight. I got these physical problems, you know, shortness of breath. I'm dealing with anxiety, you know, mental stuff. And I just start putting it all together. Like, I'm dealing with physical, mental, and emotional things. And I said, well, what if every day I invested in my mind, my body, and my spirit every single day? And I didn't just have days off. I didn't have any days off from investing in my mind, body, and spirit, what would my life look like? And after asking that question and then saying, let me try that, and seeing how I start feeling better just from working out, or I start feeling better just from meditation, and, you know, just from doing things, little things every single day. And I tell people, like, just like you wake up and you shower and brush your teeth and comb your hair and all that, it's like I work on my mind, body, and spirit every single day. Okay. I've made that a priority.
So let's get into it then. You know, when you talk about mind, body, and spirit, let's kind of go into each of the categories. What did you do? What did you implement that was you saying, I'm prioritizing my mind?
So the first thing with my mind was being able to control my thoughts. And I learned how to do that through meditation, because I had a lot of negative thoughts, which was really a root cause of, like, my depression and things like that. And I do want to say, if anyone listening to this and you're dealing with that, I do want to encourage you to also to seek professional help, because I'm not a licensed therapist. But what I did go to a therapist, and then I did do my research and saw what worked for me. And so what worked for me was really getting to a place where I can control my thoughts, because I really felt like I had no control over my thoughts. All those negative thoughts, they were just all over the place, and I had them rushing at me as soon as I woke up in the morning. You know, I remember being in that depressing state. I would wake up in the morning and just be like, oh, I got to deal with this again. Like that. That's how my thoughts were when I would wake up. And so I began to, well, first it started with affirmations. I began to just speak affirmations. And then I learned about meditation. And so that was working on my mind, speaking affirmations and then meditating, learning how to turn off those thoughts. Mm-hmm. So that was the mind part for me.
So the affirmations and then meditation. What type of affirmations were helpful?
Mine were, when I very first started, it was scripture. This is the day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I needed to remind myself that each and every day was a gift. And I had to begin to focus on that instead of focusing on, oh, I hope nothing bad happens today. It was more like, this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I will repeat that over and over again. And I remember taking my kids to school and I'll be repeating it and they would listen. And, you know, I began to record my affirmations because I realized how much they were helping, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I think that affirmations are important. It's a way to reprogram your thinking and to redirect your...
I said my kids, our kids.
You redirect your thoughts. Are they right. yours?
They are ours. Both of ours. Yours too. But I was taking them to school around that time.
And they was listening to you play that out loud and recite your affirmations mm-hmm. out loud. But like I was saying, I think that that's important for redirecting your thoughts, because when you have those negative thoughts come in, you have to be able to redirect them in order to not dwell on them and to allow them to control your mindset. And I feel like I'm interviewing you for real at this point. What did you do to implement steps to impact your body? What steps did you take?
So first it was just walking and just starting where I was. I was not as active in the gym in the very beginning of that process. And so I would just do small things like just take walks in the park. That would help me tremendously. And I remember just feeling good, like just from little things, like the hormone chemicals that come from exercise. It's a feel-good chemical, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember just feeling that and like, oh, that adrenaline. And I'm like, oh, this, I needed this, you know. So just little things like that.
Yeah.
How I would feel, you know. And when I got a trainer, I felt horrible. I'll say that at times. But then when it was over, I felt so much better, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just a little process.
Yeah. So as far as like working on your body, what was it that made you say? I mean, because I think when we started, we were talking about how people look in the mirror and they may or they may not notice things about themselves. What was it about your body that you was like, you know what, I need to make some changes? Or was it about just being healthy?
For me, of course, as a woman, we look at our bodies, we analyze, we judge our bodies because that's the society we live in. So, of course, I wanted to look a certain way, but I wasn't as motivated to transform my life until it impacted my health. Mm-hmm. That's what really motivated me to say I'm committed to this for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
because I knew I wanted to live and I wanted to be healthy and happy, you know. And when I think back, there were times, remember we would travel, remember that time we went on that vacation and I was too tired to go out and do things with y'all. I needed to lay down. And you remember that? You don't remember.
That one time we went on that one trip, we wanted to walk around that one time. Oh, I'm trying to think. Trying to remember.
But I was just so exhausted. Like, I was exhausted. I just realized that I didn't have energy. And mm-hmm. so I didn't want to feel like that anymore. But with you, I noticed in your process, when you began to be more committed, because I remember you started doing the affirmations shortly after I started doing them. You started doing yours. Mm-hmm. And we had the kids record one. So what was your experience with the affirmations? Because the affirmations was part of my mental healing and mental practice. What was that for you?
Well, I will say initially I started it, you know, I think just to test it out. You know, I think sometimes, well, everybody's not in the same space. So I think what I was looking at more or less was like, you know, I see that this can be beneficial to your thoughts and your mind and all of that. And let me test it out, you know. And
what did you discover after your test?
Well, after I was testing it out, I did discover that it was a way to redirect. You know, because when you're filling yourself up with ideas and thoughts that are contra to negative ideas that may come up, you can have a defense mechanism for things that may come up unintentionally. You know, for me, it's like, you know, if I'm dealing with a challenge or I'm dealing with some type of struggle and that struggle comes in my mind, I have affirmations that are contra to those thoughts and those ideas. Yeah. that are a defense to say, you know, you can handle anything and nothing is too big. You know, there are no challenges that you can't overcome.
You know,
God has always opened up doors for you, you know, and God has always provided for you, you know, things like that. You might, and I'm speaking for me too, I might see the challenge, but the affirmation is the confirmation that the challenge won't be too much.
Right. It reminds me of putting on the full armor of God, which is a scripture, and it talks about the helmet of salvation. And I always think about that because it's like protecting your mind, you know?
Yeah.
It's like putting that on. That's what those affirmations did. The affirmations, the meditations, all of that. What about your physical process and investing in your body?
My physical process was a bit different because when you think about the imagery of men, it's a broad spectrum. You know, some men who are larger are celebrated. Some men who are, you know, look cut and in shape, they celebrate it. It's not necessarily a stigma just on personal image when it comes to men. And for me, I've always kind of been on the slimmer side when it comes to body size. You know, my weight has always kind of fluctuated kind of differently, but I didn't really pay attention too much to the number on the scale just because since I was younger, the scale has always seemed pretty high because back when I was younger, I played football and football used to be separated by weight for ages. And I've always been on a heavier team, even though I was somewhat a smaller guy.
So you didn't really want to change your body?
I didn't look at it like, oh, I want to change my body like that. Because to a certain extent, I looked at it like most of the guys that, I mean, I didn't really know like really people that was bulking up, really lifting weights, you know, properly, trainers and stuff like that. Most of the guys I knew that were slim, that looked muscular, was because they wasn't living good. You know what I'm saying? They wasn't eating well. You know, kind of like when you look at, I guess, like history and, you know, kings most of the time were well fed and the people who weren't were kind of slim.
Oh, okay. You know, so you looked at it like, oh, I must be doing well.
I'm doing cool. I got a little meat on my bones. You know what I'm saying? I can eat good. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what changed my mindset was more so connected to health, because I think that when you recognize, especially as you get older, that there are people who look like they are not too heavy or they don't look like they out of shape, but they can still have, you know, high blood pressure. They can still have issues internally attached to their health based on the food that they eat.
You know? Did you see health issues that motivated you to prioritize your body?
I mean, just from a family perspective, a lot of people dealing with acid reflux and stuff like that from the foods that they eat. And then from being an athlete, having a mindset to where, you know, I think I can run around just because I've always run around, and then realizing you ain't got the energy like that. You ain't been working out. You ain't been doing nothing to have the idea that you can just get up and run like that. You know, especially when you got kids playing sports or kids, you know, participating in things that you want to kind of hang, you know. And when you realize you can't hang, attached to, like, I need to make sure I'm being healthy because I don't know, you know, I see what's going on in the family. I want to make sure that I'm not dealing with those type of health issues long term. So, you know, it's like twofold. It's like I'm trying to make sure I'm healthy long term and I'm not dealing with, you know, these high blood pressure, these acid refluxes, these all of this stuff that come with eating unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I see myself as an active individual that want to be able to get up and run and play softball and play sports and, and, you know, do all those things at the same time. So I say, you know, it's a combination of all things put together, you know, that really was like, I need to be consistent and committed to this, you know, especially if my goal is to live a long, healthy life.
Right.
You know,
right.
Not just a long life, but a long, healthy life.
Right.
You know.
So let's talk about the spiritual, because a lot of times, not only do we have a mind and a body, but we have a spirit.
Yes.
And when it comes to the spirit, I like to say your emotions are connected to your spirit and your energy level is connected to your spirit. And when it comes to the investing in your spirit each day, this is something that I'm very, very committed to. I had to prioritize. And there are just techniques that I do and that I started doing to invest in my spirit. But I feel like I've always really had that spiritual connection, but it's evolved even more. But I didn't always have the investment in my body and investing in my mental health. But I added that to the spiritual part.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like that for individuals who grow up going to church.
Yeah.
And grow up with a spiritual household. And you you kind of develop that mindset right. of reading scripture, of praying, of going to church and doing those things. But I think an evolution of that is to really believe that the work that you're doing on your spirit, the things that you're learning about God, the things that mm-hmm. you're understanding about how God works, not only in the spirit, but how that can be made manifest in the physical realm.
Right.
You know, and believing that all of those things that are done in the spirit can also be done in the flesh. And you can experience that same level of joy that you have when you go to God in prayer.
They all go together.
You know, in your life.
Right. They all come together, mind, body, and spirit. But I think in my beginning, I'll share a little bit about my beginning journey, because it started off with, you know, going to church, praying, okay, learning the Bible scriptures and all of that stuff, right? In my spiritual life and investment has expanded to, when I say learning about energy, I didn't know about energy, you know, and I didn't know about how your energy, which some people may say your attitude, how that played a major role in your spirit, your mind, and your emotions and your body, and just how to clear negative energy, how to clear out negative emotions. And so that has been part of my spiritual growth. So what about you? What are some things that you do to invest in your spiritual expansion?
Some of the things that I do, I feel like having a consistent study of God's word and consistent prayer life is a contributor to the growth of my spirit. And I think that, you know, the way I experience spiritual growth is not limited to those moments that I'm sitting there reading something or the moments I'm sitting there praying. I feel like my spiritual growth is activated when I believe it in the way that I operate just in the natural realm. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like, right. you know, how can I sit back and say I can do all things through Christ and be scared to do things when I walk out of my house?
Yeah.
And apprehensive to the challenges that may come my way. How can I really activate the things that I say that I believe for my spirit in my mind, you know, and really do them?
Right.
You know,
and that goes back to energy, what I've learned about, and just how fear can take a hold over people and hold them back spiritually, and not knowing how to prioritize clearing the fear and clearing the negative energy and all of those things, how that makes room for them to thrive
right.
spiritually.
Yeah, and I believe that your spiritual growth is your personal responsibility. You know, sometimes I think people give that responsibility to the leaders in their churches.
Yeah.
And they sit there to be told what they need for the week, when it's your job to not just get it when you go on Sunday, but it's your job to also continue to develop that throughout the course of the week so that you can live it.
Right.
You know, it's not just about knowing something and you not activating it and you not living by it, you know. I think yeah. knowledge, it only takes you so far before it really requires you to stand in the face of a challenge and recite the fact that you can do all things, and recite the fact that God has an expected end for your life, and for you to prosper, and for you to live a life of joy and happiness, and for you to believe that you're the head and not the tail, and you're above and not beneath, and that trouble won't last always, but there's a helper that stands beside you everywhere that you go. There's a friend that's closer than a brother, and that will give you insight and wisdom on how to navigate through any challenging moment, and give you ideas that can help you persevere in your life, you know, in every area. And I believe that, you know, once you grow to a certain level in your spiritual life, then that thing will manifest wholly in your natural experience.
I agree. And I just want to encourage our listeners to make sure that you prioritize what's best for you. Really analyze your life. I always tell, you know, I just love to share that it's so important that you pay attention to your life, that you listen to your body, that you are aware of your mind and the health of your mind, and that you prioritize yourself, that you make yourself a priority. Your mind, body, and your spirit. Put that first before any and everything. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Rainey Howard Show. We enjoyed just connecting. And I want to ask, if you really enjoyed this episode, go ahead and write us a review. Give us a 5-star review and let us know what you thought about the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to share this podcast with your friends and family. Someone needs to hear this. We really enjoy connecting with you, and we invite you to join us at realloveexists.com, where you can get free resources and also our best-selling books. And so until next time, you be blessed.